Dr. Marty Weiser from Memorial Sloan Kettering is here to talk about evidence-based approaches for neoadjuvant therapy and adjuvant therapy.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm going to go quickly. There's a lot of information here, and I would like to get it across to everyone. There are some seats up front, so please come on in and have a seat. There's a few that you can take. I don't have any disclosures to this talk. I do get some research funding through Clinical Genomics to study liquid biopsies in rectal cancer, and I'm a section editor for UpToDate, and I get paid for that. We've had a great talk on imaging, so I'm not going to go through this, but to say that we're talking about locally advanced rectal cancers that have grown through the rectal wall or involve local regional lymph nodes. And if you look up the NCCN guidelines, and I really hate these figures, I find this really tedious. So I'm going to break it down a little bit and then give you the evidence for it. You talk about neoadjuvant therapy, primary treatment, which is usually surgery, and then adjuvant. And there's a lot of options now, 2018. You can give chemoradiation followed by surgery and adjuvant chemotherapy. You can give short course radiation, surgery, and adjuvant chemotherapy. Or you can give total neoadjuvant therapy where you give chemoradiation and chemotherapy before surgery. And I'm going to go through all of these issues. So let's go back 35 years. This was the biggest problem with rectal cancer surgery. A fourth of the patients had local recurrence, 25 to 30%. This is an unsolvable problem. It causes tremendous pain and suffering for both the patient and the surgeon. It was a different era. It was blunt dissection, and we are really honored to have Bill Heald here today. But anyway, this was a different type of surgery back then. Anatomic resection was not standard. It was NSABP R01 that actually looked at surgery versus surgery and postoperative chemotherapy versus surgery and postoperative radiation. And local recurrence rates are shown here. Remember, the control arm, 25% local recurrence, that was reduced to 16% with postoperative radiation. This was huge at the time. The chemotherapy did have an effect on disease-free survival. This was metastases, but it did not have a big effect on local recurrence. The gastrointestinal tumor study group looked at surgery, surgery with postoperative chemotherapy, surgery with radiation, and then surgery with chemotherapy and radiation. And the results are shown here. Chemotherapy and radiation after surgery had less recurrence than all the other groups with minimal effect on survival. Go back to the other group, NSABP R02, asked the same question. Remember, they looked at surgery with postoperative radiation. They then added the chemotherapy, and indeed, you have less local recurrence if you have surgery with postoperative chemoradiation. North Central Cancer Treatment Group also similarly looked at the same thing. Chemo and radiation versus radiation alone after surgery, you had less recurrence and improved survival. So addition of chemotherapy to radiation, 46% reduction in local recurrence, 37% reduction in distant recurrence. So if we look at the timeline, pre-1980s, it was just rectal cancer surgery. We learned from R01 that if you add radiation, it was beneficial. And then we learned from R02 and the Gitzig trial that chemoradiation was the best option. And this led to the NCI consensus conference. Rectal cancer surgery followed by chemoradiation became standard of care. Now, in Northern Europe, they were doing something a little bit different. They were giving radiation before surgery. They were using short course radiation, biologically very similar to postoperative chemoradiation, but 5 times 5 gray. You give the radiation and you operate a week later. And the results are remarkably similar. This is the Swedish rectal cancer trial looking at local recurrence. Those that got surgery alone, local recurrence rates of 27%, oddly similar to what we were seeing in North America. But if you gave radiation before surgery, local recurrence rates went down to 11%. And this was also associated with improved survival. At the same time, the development of anatomic resection, and I'm not going to dwell on this because we have Dr. Efron is here to give a talk, and the data from multiple individual centers showing a reduction in local recurrence from double to single percentage points with good surgery. The other data supporting an anatomic resection is from tuber registries, in which the entire country cancer population is studied and evaluated and monitored. And you can see with adoption of total mesorectal excision technique, you went from double-digit local recurrence rates to single. And it was the Dutch rectal trial that asked the question, in the setting of proper surgery, do you still need radiation? Now, this is Northern Europe, so they were using short-course radiation before surgery compared to TME alone. And indeed, radiation still had a role. Local recurrence rates were lower with TME with preoperative short-course radiation, but no change in overall survival. However, like all surgical trials can be criticized, this one can also. But sorry, this is before that. This is the updated Dutch trial showing local recurrence rates at 10 years went from 11% to 5% with the addition of radiation. However, the price you pay is morbidity, and that's fecal incontinence. So the radiation reduced local recurrence but increase fecal incontinence. And you can criticize this trial based on the quality of surgery. Although total mesorectal excision technique was taught, when you audited the specimens, one-fourth of the specimens had incomplete mesorectal excision, and therefore the question I think still remains, in the setting of good surgery, how often do you need radiation? MRC-CR07 was a trial that questioned, can you use selective chemoradiation after surgery, and how does this compare to preoperative radiation? The preoperative radiation was short course, 5x5. So half the patients got preoperative radiation and then surgery. The other half went right to surgery. If they had a positive margin, they then received postoperative chemoradiation. The local recurrence data is shown here. Higher local recurrence in those patients that had surgery and adjuvant chemoradiation, selective chemoradiation. The group that had short course radiation, pre-op, and then surgery had less local recurrence. And there was a difference in disease-free survival. No change in overall survival. So preoperative radiation is more effective than selective postoperative radiation. You cannot make up for a positive margin with postoperative chemoradiation. Now, why is this? If we look at the consort diagram carefully, in the group that was going to get postoperative chemoradiation, greater than 30% never got it, even though they should have. And this is a common theme. Postoperative chemotherapy or chemoradiation is not universally delivered, as patients have complications too weak or too infirm to receive that treatment. And thus, the idea of giving preoperative chemoradiation was developed. A little bit different from Northern Europe that was giving short course, this is long course chemoradiation. The idea is that there's less tissue hypoxia, therefore it may be more effective. It's better tolerated, that's for sure. Tumor downstaging and downsizing can help you with your surgery, and there could be better long-term function because you're removing the radiated rectum. The neorectum is not radiated. And again, this is just the paradigm of surgery with postoperative chemoradiation versus preoperative chemoradiation and surgery. The idea is tumor downsizing and downstaging to facilitate a margin negative resection. It was the German rectal trial that compared preoperative long course chemoradiation to postoperative chemoradiation. The results shown here were very clear. Less local recurrence if you gave the radiation and chemotherapy before surgery. And this was associated with significant less toxicity. So preoperative therapy is preferred to postoperative based on local recurrence and toxicity profile. If you look at the local recurrence Kaplan-Meier curves, you can see that postoperative chemoradiation had higher local recurrence. This is intention to treat. If you actually look at the treatment received, I think it tells the whole story. Preoperative chemoradiation and postoperative chemoradiation are here. The group that does the worst is the people that get no chemoradiation. That is, they were supposed to get it post-op, they didn't get it. They had a complication, an infection, they were too weak or too sick to get it. Giving the treatment before surgery ensures that it will get delivered. So this is the current paradigm, trimodality therapy for rectal cancer, chemoradiation surgery, and adjuvant chemotherapy. What's the role of adjuvant chemotherapy? EORTC 22921, four arms, looked at the question, preoperative radiation, preoperative chemoradiation, preoperative radiation with adjuvant chemo, and then preoperative chemoradiation with adjuvant chemo. And one of the questions here is, what's the role for adjuvant chemo? This is the local recurrence data. The group that does the worst got preoperative radiation alone. Chemotherapy at any time during the treatment reduced local recurrence. Trying to find differences in recurrence-free survival and overall survival are quite difficult here. The problem is poor compliance. About 60% of the patients receive none or only partial dose of postoperative chemotherapy. Again, speaking to the idea that giving treatment after surgery is quite difficult for patients and many do not get it. And there are many studies, and I won't go through them, we don't have time, looking at what's the role of adjuvant chemotherapy for rectal cancer. The majority of these are looking at 5-FU. The ERTC 22921 we just talked about, they did, in a subsequent analysis, find a benefit for responders, those that were downstaged. An Italian study with over 600 patients saw no benefit, but 28%, about a third of the patients, never got the adjuvant therapy. The Dutch did two studies, both of them incomplete, so they combined the data. There they didn't see a benefit for adjuvant chemotherapy, but as discussed, these are troubled studies. The UK Chronicle looking at Zelox, so this is 5-FU and oxaliplatinum, closed early, but the trends favored postoperative chemotherapy, and a combination of five European trials showed benefit for non-responders, in contrast to the ERTC that showed a benefit for responders. So the data is very unclear. So we go to the Cochrane Library and we look at 21 studies looking mainly at 5-FU, 10,000 patients. And the forest plots show benefit for adjuvant chemotherapy for disease-free survival and overall survival. Why is this so difficult to figure out? Well, one is staging. The German rectal trial told us that preoperative staging is not perfect. And in fact, the German rectal trial, remember, this was preoperative chemoradiation versus postoperative chemoradiation. In the group that was supposed to get postoperative chemoradiation, they went right to surgery. So you could compare the accuracy of the staging because there was no neoadjuvant treatment. 18% of those thought to have stage 2 or stage 3 disease actually had stage 1 disease. We're not going to see any benefit of adjuvant chemotherapy for stage 1 colorectal cancer. The benefit for stage 2 is small and difficult to determine as well. I think the question still remains, if response to chemoradiation is prognostic or a predictive marker, and if we should use an adaptive treatment paradigm based on response. We generally, the standard has been to add oxaliplatinum. This is based on colon cancer studies. This is the Mosaic trial showing a significant benefit of adding oxaliplatinum to adjuvant chemotherapy for colon. The ADORE trial, which is a phase 2 trial, over 300 patients treated with chemoradiation and then 4 months of adjuvant 5-FU or FOLFOX, so 5-FU or 5-FU plus oxaliplatinum. This was reported at ASCO this year with 74-month follow-up. FOLFOX had a higher 6-year disease-free survival than the 5-FU alone with similar overall survival. However, the toxicity is significant. In some subgroup analysis, those with advanced nodal disease after neoadjuvant treatment and low tumor regression grade had the greatest benefit. So going back to our the chart that we had created earlier, if we go down to the bottom line, this has become the standard now, NCCN guidelines, chemo radiation, surgery, and adjuvant FOLFOX. Short course radiation, let's go back to that quickly. Northern Europe has had great success with short course radiation. The Polish study compares short course versus long course. Again, short course is giving 5 times 5 gray the week before surgery, and long course is chemo radiation over 26 fractions. The results in this very small trial are pretty obvious. You're going to have less tumor downsizing, in fact, none, with short course because you operate so soon. So pathologic complete response and downsizing of tumors is less, and you'll have a higher positive circumferential radial margin. But because the patients were radiated, the thought is that the tumor cells at that margin would be destined to be destroyed. Similar overall and disease-free survival, and therefore short course radiation is considered acceptable. Well, what about intensifying chemo radiation before surgery, adding oxaliplatinum? There have been 5 studies. We don't have time to go through all of them, but the results are pretty similar. Adding oxaliplatinum to 5-FU with radiation increases toxicity, doesn't significantly change response, and therefore it is not standard and not used. Lastly, in 2 seconds, I'll talk about total neoadjuvant therapy. This is the idea of moving the adjuvant chemotherapy up front, give all the treatment before. The rationale is that patients will tolerate the treatment better. And if you're going to pursue a non-operative management paradigm, you would like to get the most downstaging and downsizing as possible. We reported our results this year looking at a group that got chemo radiation with planned adjuvant chemotherapy versus those that got total neoadjuvant therapy with FOLFOX for 4 months, chemo radiation, and then surgery. And the results are, as have been shown in other phase 2 trials, other people have shown similar data, you're much more likely to get 5-FU and oxaliplatin into patients when you give it before surgery. Again, if you go through chemo radiation and surgery, many patients are either too sick or infirm to receive the adjuvant therapy. This resulted in an increased pathologic complete response rate, especially for stage 2 patients, which is quite impressive if you're going to pursue that paradigm. And a benefit is early stoma closure. That is, if you give all your treatment up front and you use a diverting ileostomy, we generally close it at 6 weeks after rectal resection. So back, these are the accepted paradigms according to NCCN. I've tried to give you the data to support it. All of these are possible. There are some nuances here about when we use one versus the other. I think the future is, as I've alluded to, is trimodality therapy. Is chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery necessary for all patients? Prospect is just about complete, over 1,000 patients enrolled, probably about 40 more patients to go. Please put patients on study. That the PROSPECT study asks the question, can we use selective radiation? If we start off with chemotherapy and patients respond, can we go right to surgery? The other option is, can you withhold surgery? Can you treat with chemotherapy and radiation and hope for a complete response? That's the idea of watch and wait or rectal preservation. Thank you very much.